Hi, I'm Lori Blansky, and you're listening to the Rust Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today is Friday, June 30th, and it's a light day here at Gillette Stadium. Today we have Paul Perillo and Brian Lowe breaking down the roster.
And thanks once again, Laurie. I'm Brian Lowe here along with Paul Perillo, and it is the last day of the month of June, which means that come Saturday, Paul, we'll be able to say that training camp begins this month. And depending on your perspective, that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the rest of the downtime of this offseason. But training camp is 4 weeks from today, actually.
I guess it also means that no one else has to come to work. Last day of June, I guess, is a public holiday because it seems like you and I are like the only ones here. Lori's here.
But, you know, I'm here, but I'm wearing shorts.
That's
kind of my concession. You know, I'm wearing shorts, very casual today, and looking forward to 4 days off.
Wow.
Not bad. Now, the question, as I say, that training camp begins 4 weeks from today, Paul, is will Jonathan with an H. Sullivan be on board the day training camp begins? Because as you may or may not know, I know you know, Paul, but the listeners may or may not know that Jonathan Sullivan, I believe the newest member of the Patriots or one of the newest, was arrested in his hometown down in Louisiana on Sunday morning for, among other things, possession of marijuana. That is something that
Just a quick correction. Yeah. He was actually in Georgia. He got arrested.
Georgia, my bad. Griffin, Georgia. That is correct. Griffin, Georgia. He was charged with possession of marijuana, a seatbelt violation, running two stop signs, and playing loud music. Not quite what they're looking for down the hall, Paul. How does this affect his status with the Patriots?
And, you know, especially for a guy who is kind of already working on a second chance here. And I'm not saying a second chance in terms of character flaws or arrests or whatever. You know, to our knowledge, his time in New Orleans, though disappointing on the field, wasn't necessarily littered with character issues where he was arrested or, you know, disorderly conduct, stuff
right.
like that. Now, I wouldn't exactly say he was the model citizen in New Orleans. He found his way, you know, in the inactive list on a couple of different occasions in New Orleans. So he comes here to New England, and you got to think that he's working on a second chance here with Coach Belichick. You got to think he just left Foxborough from minicamp. I know the way the Patriots do things. They don't leave any stones unturned. They make sure that the players know exactly what they want in terms of their program, in terms of their behavior, and what they're looking for. And a couple of weeks later, you see Jonathan Sullivan's name pop up on an arrest sheet you know, down in Georgia. Now, originally, I would have said, you know, yesterday, if you asked me this question, without question, I would have said he's gone. I think within a couple of days, he'll probably be released. In reading some of the details of the arrest today, I guess there's a glimmer of hope for him there. It didn't seem like an overly I don't want to make light of it. I don't want people writing in to say that you know, that we're just kind of fluffing this and, you know, sweeping it all under the rug. I don't want to make light of it, but it didn't seem like an overly egregious, mistake.
Right.
I mean, the marijuana obviously is important. It's, you know, it's against the law and all that. And he had a gun in the car.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't seem like there was any uncooperative nature with the police. It seems like they did everything they were supposed to do.
They specified that he was cooperative.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I think there's maybe, whereas I would have thought 100% he's gone, I think there's maybe a 10-20% window there where there might be room for him
to think he'll be gone. Now, we're talking about a guy who was far from a lock to make this roster. I mean, this was a guy who...
Oh, well, that's why he'd be gone.
If
this was, you know,
right.
someone at the
right.
top of the depth chart, I don't care if it was whatever, he wouldn't be gone.
Right.
I mean,
now,
let's face it, there's different rules for different guys.
Now, to me, I mean, he gets arrested for marijuana. He's not the first person to get arrested for marijuana. The judgment that this guy showed, 3:56 in the morning, his third week with his new team. He's a career underachiever who gets a fresh start. His third week, he's out blaring his music, running stop signs at 3:56 in the morning. I'm sorry, that's not the kind of judgment and character that I want.
I don't know about you,
Pilo,
but Mom and Pop Perillo always told me nothing good ever happens at that hour.
My parents encouraged me to be out at around 4 a.m.
You know, you get beyond like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, nothing good ever happens.
Nothing good ever
4
happens.
4 o'clock in the morning,
4 o'clock
nothing good can come out of you driving around at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's what the Perillos, wise parents. Wise parents.
You know,
I just
that's
don't
the way
think...
I think about it on my way home from overnights, too.
Now, I'm not going to pretend that Jonathan Sullivan at 4 a.m. should have been in his apartment studying the defensive playbook. But if this guy has this kind of judgment, I don't know if he's the guy that I want to be that I trust in learning a complicated 3-4 defensive scheme. So I think that, like you said, if this was Richard Seymour, if this was a star player, he wouldn't be gone. But I don't think we're going to see Jonathan Sullivan here.
You're able to make a statement here without necessarily hurting your team on the field, because there's 30 or 35 young guys in that locker room mm-hmm. right now that have a chance to see how the Patriots want things done, and they understand the repercussions of their actions.
Exactly.
Bill Belichick just got finished telling these guys A, B, C, D, and E. These are the things that we're looking for out of you, and if you're not doing them, you're gone. Well, now's an opportunity for Bill Belichick, again, without necessarily hurting his depth chart. He can make a statement with Jonathan Sullivan, much like he did with Kenyatta Jones a couple of years ago.
Kenyatta Jones is
not really hurting your team, and I'm not saying that should be the reason why you should or shouldn't do, but let's face it, it's fortunate that, as you said, it's not Richard Seymour, and you're not faced with that, the problem of having to overlook something because the guy's just simply too darn good to just cast aside.
Now, Sullivan's arrest happened to take place on Sunday morning, which was the first day, I believe, of the NFL Rookie Symposium, ironically enough, a weekend where NFL rookies learn about things not to do, such as run stoplights with blaring
music at 3:56
a.m. With a bag of marijuana and a weapon in your car. That is, maybe Jonathan Sullivan will appear at the NFL Symposium next year to tell them his story. Let's just talk about the defensive line position real quick. Jonathan Sullivan in the mix. Obviously, you have the big four of Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, and Jarvis Green. The guys on the bubble along with Jonathan Sullivan are guys like Mike Wright, guys like Marquise Hill, Dan Klecko, rookies like Lakeven Smith. And, we'll see how all that plays out. But certainly Jonathan Sullivan was a guy who, especially if they were looking for a backup nose tackle to Vince Wilfork, and especially if they go to more 4-3 fronts, he's a guy who maybe would have a role here if he keeps his head on straight.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. It's a guy potentially, if he could have, picked up on what the coaches were asking him to do, could have carved out a role as a backup nose tackle and certainly as an alternative in a 4-3 set.
Right. So ending our topic of Jonathan Sullivan, if he does get released between now and training camp, we know the reason why. If he ends up getting released at the roster cutdown dates in late August, we'll know that it was more on-the-field performance issues. So we'll see how that plays out. Want to turn our attention real quick to the backup quarterback position, something we talked about last week, something we've talked about on multiple occasions on this roster podcast. Jay Fiedler has signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fiedler, one of the more prominent veteran backups who had been available as a free agent. Kerry Collins, I guess you would say, is the most high-profile quarterback still out there. The Patriots are still going with Tom Brady and three guys who have no NFL starts to their credit, Matt Castle, Corey Bramlett, and Todd Mortensen, and we continue to wait and see if there's a backup quarterback, a veteran backup like Bill Belichick has historically had in his roster. One week more has passed, Paul. Any more insight that you have on the backup quarterback situation?
No, I really don't, and I'm starting to wonder what they're thinking about in terms of the need for a veteran. And the way I look at it is, even if you feel that Matt Castle is entrenched, solidly entrenched as your number two guy. And let's face it, only the coaches know that. We don't know that. But even if they feel that way, wouldn't they feel the need to get a third guy in here at some point? Now, I could understand, say, if Jay Fiedler thinks that way, why he wouldn't have the Patriots in mind. Because why would he come here with no chance to play? Now, I think it would be ridiculous for Jay Fiedler, putting myself in Jay Fiedler's case, to come to New England. It doesn't make any sense. He has no chance to play here.
Right.
The only chance that he would have to play here is if the starter got hurt.
Right.
Whereas he goes to Tampa Bay and he has, if the starter gets hurt or if the starter is ineffective.
Exactly. Because Chris
and there are a lot of teams in that situation. Tom Brady could be ineffective for the next 3 years before he's going to be in danger of losing his job.
Right.
Let's face it.
And when we talk about bringing a backup quarterback in here, we're not saying that a guy like Jeff Blake could be signed this week and is a lock to come in and be the backup quarterback. But I remember 2 years ago, the Patriots went into training camp with five quarterbacks. And it was Tom Brady. I believe that was the year with Jim Miller. They had signed Kurt Kitner. They had Cliff Kingsbury still. They had Rohan Davey. And I'm not saying any of those guys I'd be very confident with as Brady's backup, but at least bring a guy in to see what he can do during training camp.
Maybe they feel
some competition.
Maybe they feel with Corey Bramlett and Todd Mortensen that there's a little bit more potential than what we all saw at minicamp, because we didn't feel like either one of those two guys demonstrated the ability to throw the football at the NFL level consistently.
Any chance, Paul, and we see this on rare occasions in the NFL, any chance that the Patriots go into their first week of the regular season with two quarterbacks on the roster?
Well, you know, I wish that, you know, I'm kicking myself now because this topic came up at one of the mini-camp press conferences. We were talking about backup quarterbacks, and I was going to ask Bill if there was any chance of that, and I didn't, and I wish I had now. Because I'm wondering, you know, he places such a value on roster spots, if he feels that that third quarterback, maybe he can put one of these kids on the practice squad, and right. He feels like that's his third quarterback. You don't need to have it on right. The roster. I don't know.
And the, you know, if you go into a week, a game, with only two quarterbacks on the roster, it's not like you have to commit to the whole season with only two quarterbacks. Obviously, God forbid something happens to one of the quarterbacks injury-wise in that game. Okay, maybe you have some scrambling to do during that game, and maybe you have some uncomfortable moments, but you could go and bring someone off the practice squad or sign someone later in the week. But it's an interesting question. I think Denver last year only had Jake Plummer and Bradley Van Pelt.
I believe you're
once
right.
Once or twice over the course of a year, you got a team that only has two. And it's an interesting one because that buys you another spot on the roster for another position that you're looking for depth and maybe another special teams guy. So that's an interesting thing. As we get closer and closer to training camp with the current stable of quarterbacks, is something that I'm keeping my eye on, whether or not they commit to only having two quarterbacks. Now, that's not something we'll find out until September 5th right. or whatever.
Right.
Final topic that I want to bring up real quick, as we've mentioned at the top of the show, that we are now at July, pretty much. The Patriots draft picks, no one has been signed yet. That is not something to worry about yet, because I think there have been a handful, maybe, of draft picks in the entire NFL who have been signed. But it's kind of interesting. I took a look at when some of the draft picks were signed in the last 2 years. Last year, the Patriots signed a couple of their late-round picks, Ryan Clarridge, Matt Castle, I believe Andy Stokes as well, around June 28th. And then it wasn't until July 20th. Between July 20th and July 25th, they took care of all of their early round picks. Logan Mankin signing on July 25th, Ellis Hobbs July 22nd, Nick Kazier, James Sanders on the 20th, so just before training camp. 2 years ago, they got Vince Wilfork, their first round pick, signed on July 19th. Benjamin Watson, quite an interesting situation. He held out, did not sign until August 16th. Marquise Hill and Dexter Reed that year signed in June. Any thoughts that you have on the status of signing the current draft picks? Has that gotten in running yet?
The only thing I can say, and we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday for PFW in Progress, but I know with the new CBA, there are situations. First of all, the salaries are generally slotted, so that's right. not usually the hang-up. The hang-up is generally terms.
Exactly.
And now with the new CBA, they're kind of dictated for you because there's a maximum that can be allowed. And I believe that the top half of the first round is 5 years, or is it six?
I don't know.
I think the top half of the first round is five, and then the bottom half is four, and then all the other rounds, the most it can be is four.
Right.
Now, I suppose that a rookie could come in and say, well, I know the most you can give me is four, but I don't want four. I only want three and
right.
whatever. So that could be a hang-up. But I don't think, we talked a little bit before we started, there is a situation with the rookie pools this year maybe being a little bit smaller than,
in
comparison to the increase of the salary
to the,
cap.
Relative to a team's entire salary cap, the rookie pool is now a lower percentage.
Yeah, it didn't increase by the same percentage
right.
that the overall cap did. So, you know, I know that was going to be a problem in some areas, some teams that have the higher profile picks, you know, like Houston, obviously, at the top. So I wouldn't worry about this until we get to, a week before camp and
right.
you don't see anybody signed. Then I think it would be time
I think now is the time where generally you read that teams don't really get to signing their draft picks in earnest until after July 4th. And that 3 or 4 weeks between July 4th and training camp is when you start seeing most of them signed. And the Patriots, of course, Lawrence Maroney, their first-round pick, Chad Jackson in the second round. We'll see. We'll see if any of these are contentious negotiations. Certainly it doesn't help anyone to have any holdouts. Benjamin Watson, he played in that first game and then went on injured reserve. You wonder if he was with the team, if certain conditioning elements, see how that all plays out. We saw some of these guys in rookie camp and in mini camp in the last couple months. But it's a completely different story in training camp when you go in 2-a-days, multiple days, and that's really when you start integrating into the offense. So I just wanted to bring that up because we're getting into July. And
trying to start trouble.
I'm trying to start trouble. Boy, all the controversy we're talking about today, a player getting arrested, how that's going to impact the roster, where's the backup quarterback, and now draft pick negotiations. Quite an interesting time. We're trying to do whatever we can here on June 30th, a fairly quiet time in the NFL. as you can tell, because a few of our co-hosts.
So quiet, in fact, that everybody else decided not to come to work.
Right, right, which is very interesting. You know, very interesting, and we'll have to talk to them about that.
Of course, I'll take this opportunity to say I will not be part of the podcast next week.
Yeah, I think it might be B-Low solo next week. I might have to drum up some other cohorts as well. Well, that will wrap up this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. We touched on a few items here, and of course, we will be with you every Friday here on Patriots.com into training camp. And thanks to Paul Perillo. I'm Brian Lowe. We will talk to you next time. Back to law.
Thanks, guys. Remember, you can check out the rest of Patriots.com for more information. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.